Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana, welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message. We continue our Philippians study, and we're in chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, which read as follows. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Before the message on Sunday, we listened to a song by Laura Story entitled Blessings. She really is perceptive in that as she sings this song, she points out that we often pray for blessings. We pray for goodness, we pray for wisdom, we pray for clarity, we pray for patience, we pray for all these things. And that's right, we should pray for these things, but so often the blessings come through pain and trial and tears. She even points out, what if 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes for us to know that He is near? And so often that's how God works. And we see in this passage one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture. And it's chapter 1, verse 12. Paul writes, now I want you to know, I want you to get this. I want you to understand something so profound, he says to the Philippian church, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. The pain that I'm suffering, the distress, the imprisonment, the chains have served to advance the gospel. This is important. Paul believed this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul wrote, for our light and momentary troubles are working for us to achieve, or working for us a glory that far outweighs them all. Achieving for us. Now, how can this possibly be? Trouble in the hands of Christ serves His purpose for His glory and for our good every time. That's the crux of this message today. Paul lived his life realizing that as a slave of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus could do with his life as He willed. And as far as Paul was concerned, there was no greater investment for him than to put his troubles, put his trials into the hands of Christ. For Christ Himself would accomplish His purpose. In fact, as we see in Philippians, He is saying, this jail, this prison, this chaining, being chained to a Roman soldier is serving to advance the gospel. Have to ask the question, what happens inside you and what happens inside me when difficult, unpleasant, painful disagreeing circumstances occur? How quickly do these circumstances rob you of your joy? See, remember, happiness is dependent upon circumstances and events happening in our lives, but joy, being a gift of the Holy Spirit, can't be moved by circumstances. Paul's circumstances certainly were not ideal. I have to wonder, what did he think about when he considered preaching in Rome? You remember in Romans chapter 1, Paul wrote very clearly that he was anticipating coming and preaching the gospel in Rome. He didn't found the church, remember, but he was looking forward to coming to them and speaking a word that would edify the church. I have to believe that when he recognized that he would come by the will of God to Rome, he had in mind that this message that he would preach would be the declaration that he, as a free man in Jesus Christ, would proclaim as he walked down the main street of Rome, pronouncing, Jesus Christ is Lord. You got to remember, in the Roman culture, as far as Caesar was concerned, he himself was Lord. Yet Paul had to envision, had to have in mind that proclamation would make the announcement to the world, to the conquering nation of the world, that Jesus Christ is Lord. His kingdom reigns forever. But it wouldn't be that way for Paul. You remember that when he was writing to the Romans, he said that he would get there soon. He would come to them, but first he had to make a little stop, and that was to Jerusalem. Well, his trip to Jerusalem, wherein he carried an offering from the Macedonian churches, probably from the church in Philippi and Achaia, he took this offering to Jerusalem. When he got to Jerusalem, there were a group of people that were opposed to his message, and they opposed him, and he was eventually arrested, almost tore in two, arrested, and his life was in danger from his own countrymen. It became apparent that there was going to be an ambush against Paul wherein they would kill him. So when this was found out, they moved Paul to Caesarea, and Paul remained in Caesarea for 2 years. He made an appeal to Caesar, and because of that appeal to Caesar, he was shipped off to Rome. So imagine, he was 2 years in Caesarea, where he had planned on moving right away to preach the gospel in Rome. Now he's in a prison, and now he's in Caesarea, moved to Rome. And as we see in Acts chapter 28, the last scene we have is if Paul makes it to Rome, but on his way to Rome, he's caught in a storm in the ship, and the ship is wrecked. That's not exactly how I would plan out. But trouble in the hands of Christ turns out for his glory, for the glory of God. He accomplishes his purpose through our trouble. Paul had no problems of admitting this and actually glorying in this. But I ask you, what plans and what dreams have you had? You worked it out in your own mind, and it seems as though nothing but heartache and trouble and disappointment have come along in your life. I would encourage you to have the faith Paul had. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that it's not an option. Put your trouble in the hands of Christ so that his purposes and his pleasure and his will would be accomplished. And you see, Paul never lost joy as he considered what God was doing through these circumstances. You see, Paul wasn't content with just being free. Paul didn't care if he was free or a slave. He didn't care if he was free or bound. Why? Because he had resolved to make himself a slave to Jesus Christ. His time was Christ's time. His body was Christ's body. His mind belonged to Christ. His wants, wishes, wills, and desire belonged to Christ. This is the life that we too can live because of the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was a mature believer, and I want for us to become mature believers in this way as well. I want for you, and I want for me, to become mature in such a way that the roots of our faith grow down deep, sinking into the rich, wet soil of Christ's life, the nourishing of Christ's life, which would make us like mighty oaks planted by streams of water, oaks planted by the Lord for His glory. For most of us, we'll benefit from this passage because after we observe Paul, seeing that the totality of his life was in the hands of a perfectly sovereign Christ, he lived with joy. And you need only to look at various passages in the New Testament to know that he wasn't moved by circumstances. He himself was moved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy can only be diminished, though, in the Christian's life, in the believer's life, by sin, sinful attitudes, those attitudes which hinder our fellowship with Christ. Christ is the fountainhead of all joy. But when our attitudes are contrary to a trusting, hopeful, loving, and believing attitude in the Lord Jesus Christ, our joy will be diminished. This is why guarding the attitude of your heart is of absolute necessity. Sinful attitudes, think of it, smoldering anger, bitterness, negativity, lack of cheerfulness, doubt, fear, worry, dissatisfaction, selfishness. They must be arrested. You've got to arrest them. Take yourself by the hand if you want a return of joy and repent of these things. You know, the Lord has put His finger on an attitude in your own life that you know is one that you must take and repent of. Putting the troubles, though, and even these poor attitudes in the hands of Christ will change everything. No trouble, no poor health, no financial problems, personal relationships, careers need steal our joy. It's how we respond to these troubles and trials that matter the most. And so be quick when you've been hit hard by disappointment, for instance, or sickness or financial problems, be quick to fix your faith on Christ and wait for Him to take your troubles in His hands. Knowing this, that our God in Christ is too wise and too loving to make a mistake. He knows what He's doing. Paul lived with that in mind. He knew that Christ, his master, knew what was the very best. His attitude was a trusting attitude because he had put himself under the mighty hand of God. Paul knew hardships and trouble. We've already said that, by the time he wrote Philippians, he could have been totally destroyed by the waiting of 4 years. You got to keep in mind, he was chained to an 18-inch chain to a Roman centurion. That means everything Paul would go to do, everything he would go to do, would be in the company of a Roman Praetorian Guard, one of the elite, handpicked by Caesar himself or by his close cabinet members. It would be these Roman centurions, Roman Praetorian Guards, that would follow Paul everywhere. When it was time to eat, the Praetorian Guard would be there. When it was time to sleep, the guard would be there. When it was time to minister the Word of God, they would be there. When it was time to go to the bathroom, they would be there. And I want to ask you this, how would your life be measured by these Praetorian Guards if they followed you around on an 18-inch chain all day long, every day for 2 years? Kind of causes me some embarrassment, but it shows me that my attitude must be in line with Jesus Christ, that I must have my hope set on Him. And there's hope in that, because that is the will of God. We're not asking of Him, when we ask for help in this, we're not asking something that He's not willing to do. Our God would have us to bring glory to Him. Here's what happened for Paul in verse 13. It says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. He may have been chained to a Roman Praetorian Guard, but make no mistake, he was certainly chained to Jesus Christ. You may be chained to circumstances that hurt, circumstances that are dull. But friend, may I ask, are you chained to Jesus Christ? But it was so clear to these Romans who lived in light of the fact that Caesar was Lord, yet they saw that this Apostle Paul was certainly and genuinely following after Jesus Christ, and he was in chains for Jesus Christ. This was clear. There was no hypocrisy. There was nothing that they could point and blame Paul for, no wrongdoing, because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that the hardness of his circumstances and that the trouble of his life was in the hands of Christ. What trouble are you facing now that if you had placed him firmly in the hands of Christ would serve to advance God's purposes in your life for His glory and your good? Paul was joyful. First of all, let's remember this. He was joyful because the gospel was advancing in spite of his chains. He lived as though the preaching depended upon him. But he trusted the Lord to accomplish his good will and purpose through whomever he would. Now listen, Paul was pleased. His purpose in life as a slave of Jesus Christ was to serve Christ no matter what, whether that meant life or death, prison or free. His life was God's to have, God to do with as he will. But Paul didn't let the circumstances rob him of joy, because having placed his troubles in the hands of Christ, he saw the gospel advancing. Paul served a God greater than himself. He turned himself outward. His eyes were not looking at his own problems as much as he was looking at the God who could take those problems and cause them to turn for good, for the glory of God. And it's so important for us to consider this, because we have troubles of our own. I think of John Bunyan, one of the great preachers of all time, and people would come to hear John Bunyan preach, yet the Church of England was greatly distressed because of his popularity. They did not like his message he preached. He preached Christ as Lord, and this went against the rulership of the Church of England. He was put in prison, yet he was free to come into the courtyard along with the other prisoners. And John Bunyan preached the gospel each and every day. Thousands of people would come and circle around that prison just to hear him preach. Well, the officials only put up with that for so long, and then they stuck him down in an old dungeon and took away all his books, his Bible, but they gave him pen and paper. John Bunyan wrote one of the greatest books that still preaches the gospel to this very day, and that is The Pilgrim's Progress. Sure, John Bunyan wanted to be free, but Christ had better need of him being in a dungeon where that great book, the second bestseller of all time, would be written. John Bunyan would say it. Paul could say it. Can you say it? What men and circumstances mean for evil, God means it for good. And we see this, the perfect example of this in Christ's redemptive work. What men meant for evil, and that they were to crucify the Son of God, God meant it for our redemption and our salvation. We must stand firm in the faith. We need not fear when troubles and trials come. If we put those troubles and trials in the hands of Christ, we will even see, or at least one day we'll know that God's purposes were accomplished for His glory and for our good. God has need of our trouble. But look at verse 14. These people, because of Paul's chains, and we should say because of his courage to believe and trust in a sovereign Christ, says most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Because Paul was faithful, because he was courageous in faith, others became faithful and courageous, and they preached this gospel. The gospel was advancing. Do you believe that courage is contagious? It certainly is. I believe that this is what you and I would truly desire, that our faith and our faithfulness to the Lord would cause others to be courageous. Entrust your troubles to Christ. Finally, verses 15 through 18, we see Paul joyful because Christ was preached even by those who wanted him to be ruined. People were slandering Christ. He says some were preaching with a right heart and right spirit, and he was so thankful, but others were preaching Christ. Yes, they were preaching Christ, but they were slandering him while they were doing it. No doubt, judging that he was in bonds because of sin in his life. They didn't see, as Paul saw, the purposes of God being accomplished. And Paul would say, so what? So what? I don't care how they're slandering me. I don't care what they're saying against me. No matter what, I don't care. Why? Because Christ is being preached. He was called to preach the gospel. We have purpose. We've got a purpose in our life, and that is to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. At Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church, we say it simply. We exist to behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We want to make, we want to see the glory of God by seeing Jesus Christ, knowing Him better, and because of that, we want others to behold the glory of God in Christ Jesus. For Paul, he knew that he was called to bring glory to God by preaching the gospel of the Son of God. And the fact that Christ was being preached caused him to rejoice. That people were piling on and piling on, heaping trouble upon Paul, and Paul didn't care. So long as Christ was preached, trouble was placed in Christ's hands, and Christ was fulfilling in Paul's circumstances the glorious purposes of God. Do you want to radically change your life? Do you want your life to change today, even if circumstances don't? Do you want your life to change? I submit to you, going back to verse 12, having the attitude of Paul, that you would see that what is happening to you, what these circumstances, what really is happening is that they're serving to advance the purposes of God in your life. Do you want to radically change your life, even if circumstances don't? Then live your life with your troubles in Christ's hands. Put them there through prayer. God will glorify Himself as you see trouble in the hands of Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you.